It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms from the season. Later on, we'll hear the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show from 1949. But right now, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin star in The Marriage from December 20th, 1953 on NBC.
Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. With the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting one of the most distinguished couples of the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as Liz and Ben Marriott, bringing you the love and laughter of The Marriage.
There are a number of occasions when I turn maudlin. Among them are weddings, new babies, and Christmas. My annual glow arrives sometime after Thanksgiving and becomes progressively more intense as December wears on. This year, it all came to a head late one night when Ben was trying to make our check stubs agree with the bank statement. Naturally, the bank was ahead.
I don't understand it, Liz. I can't make it balance.
In college physics, we used to multiply by Fenagler's constant.
Fenagler's which?
That's the number which you multiply by to get what you know is the right answer.
I'm afraid the Center Trust Company would take a dim view of Fenagler's constant.
So did our physics instructor.
Look at this collection of bills.
Oh, why do they always send them in those envelopes with windows? They always look as if they're sneering at you.
They are. Look at this electric bill. What are we running, the Tennessee Valley Authority?
You like your toast dark, darling.
Not that dark.
Oh, look, Ben, the next bill. A Christmas seal. Ben, I saw my first Santa Claus today.
Yeah. I didn't know they came as far south so early.
Seriously. I was thinking about Christmas all day. All the things we used to do at home. Sleigh rides, church pageants, presents, having people just drop in.
I estimate people just dropping in at an average of $3.50 apiece, $5 a couple.
Oh, Ben, you don't mean that.
Of course not, darling. But we are stuck this month. Here. Pete's dentist bill. What's he filling those cavities with? What? Never mind. I know. Gold.
Is it that bad?
Yeah. Every doctor in town suddenly decides he needs a little something extra for Christmas, so they all send bills.
Well, that's what I was thinking this afternoon. It would be so nice to have something extra for parties and really wonderful presents. So I went into Hunt's and applied.
For a loan? Hunt's is a department store.
No, for a job. They always put on extra people at Christmas.
Liz, are you serious?
Well, why shouldn't I? Pete and Emily are old enough now, and, well, I think it's a little exciting. While I was filling out the personnel form, I felt as if I were taking college entrance exams again.
I hate to think of you in that grind all day.
Oh, no, Ben. I walked through the store with all the holiday decorations going up, and I felt as if I were an important part of Christmas. I'll be in Moderate Perfume.
Don't they trust you with the uninhibited brand?
Moderate price, dear.
I still don't feel right about it.
Ben, look at it this way. Emily and Pete have to work to save up Christmas money. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah, but a full-time job.
It's only for a month. It makes me feel 15 years younger. I've been studying the manual.
Manual? You mean an employee's manual?
Oh, yes. You've got to know what to do in an emergency.
What kind of an emergency?
Well, what to do if a woman starts to have a baby in the store.
Refer her to the infant's wear department?
No. You send for the nearest elevator operator.
They have medical degrees?
They get the store doctor. Oh, I do hope nobody has a baby in Moderate Perfumes. I had a curious sense of excitement as I went through the employee's entrance at Hunt's the next morning at 8:30. I positively glowed with a combination of pride and pre-Yuletide spirit as I punched my time card. Just before the store opened, Mr. Jowett, the department buyer, called all the girls down to the big Christmas tree at the elevators.
Now, girls?
Oh, yes, sir.
I believe we're all oriented on the mechanical details of sales slips, refunds, cash, and stock records. But now, in the quiet before the storm, I want especially to tell you temporaries that Christmas at Hunt's is more than sales and commission. Christmas at Hunt's is here. Last year, in perfumes and cosmetics, we ran up a Christmas sales index of 79.8. You are amazed, of course. But let me warn you, hosiery was not far behind and coming fast. This year, we face stiff competition. With the addition of men's sports shirts on the floor, we shall be hard put. Hard put. But I am confident that with our hardcore regulars and the spirited assistance of all you little extras, once again, when the dust has cleared and tally sheets are made out, up there in accounting, like a boob and Adam, perfumes and cosmetics will lead all the rest. I want you to know I have faith in you. By December 24th, hosiery and men's sports will know they've been in a fight. All right, places. Get out there and remember, Merry Christmas.
Hello there.
Hello.
I'm Ruthie.
Hello, Ruthie. I'm Liz.
Joe, it wasn't so bad this year.
Does he do that every year?
Oh, sure. You should have heard him in 51. Mrs. Harris from Face Powder was sick. Silicosis or something, and he had us out there winning this one for her.
It is kind of exciting, though, isn't it? I mean, all the Christmas spirit.
You bet. Jowett gets a bonus if the department beats out hosiery and men's sports shirts. Look, honey, you mind if I give you a couple of tips?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've never worked on the floor before. When I was here before, I was a buyer.
No kidding. Well, out here, it's the law of the jungle. I know, I've had 8 years of it, since I was 16.
You are a veteran.
I got the scars to show. Well, here's our kennel. Look, Liz, you gotta remember a customer is human, deep down. They got weaknesses. When you spot it, move in fast. Get them before they get you. And push the dog.
Push the dog?
Yeah, this stuff. Jowett bought a couple of dozen gross of this perfume, and it's overpriced 100%. And he wants it unloaded. There's a 1% commission bonus.
What an interesting name. Essence.
In French, it means gasoline. Well, we'll all be pushing this stuff, although most of it'll be bouncing back for return.
Why should it?
For one thing, it smells like a caramel popcorn store on Times Square. And for another, if you're not careful, the bottle breaks in your hand.
Well, why sell it then?
1% bonus, baby.
Oh.
Well, there's the warning bell. Dig your heels in and fight back.
You make it sound so desperate.
Honey, when them customers get in here, it's every girl for herself. Kill or be killed.
I wonder what would happen if I took a sort of Gandhi position. Passive resistance.
Oh, that's all right for machine guns or tanks, honey, but not for customers.
My goodness. What's that?
Foghorn Joe. That 14-foot Santa Claus by the elevator. He does that every minute and a half. You'll get used to it. Or you'll break.
Merry Christmas.
I must admit I was a little tired that evening. As a matter of fact, I was exhausted. I kept hearing Foghorn Joe ringing in my ears every minute and a half. Merry Christmas. I was glad to get home. I thought that here at least, with the children and my family, I could both drop my faith in the warmth and humanity of Christmas.
Liz, look.
Up by the arches, Emily. Oh, easy now.
Is this right, Mom? With my phone?
Very soothing.
Liz.
What did you say, Vin?
I've got our Christmas list all organized.
Wonderful. I love just thinking about presents. Don't. Oh, Emily.
Sorry, Mom.
See, I took all the names. I put them on lists. Here, look, Liz. Here they are. These are $1.50, $2.50, $4, and $6. See, I started by dividing everybody into categories and then downgrading across the board.
Oh, Ben.
Efficient, eh?
But you can't do that. You've got to think about each person.
I did. You think it's easy deciding whether your Uncle Arnold is a 250 or a 4?
But that's so mechanical.
You mean you think he's really a dollar and a half?
Oh, Ben, that's awful. You can't hang a price tag on Christmas. It spoils everything. It's the joy of giving, even to a stranger.
Yeah.
You've got to think how you really feel about, well, Uncle Arnold.
Oh, I couldn't go that low.
Oh, seriously. Christmas giving should come from the heart.
Of course it should, darling. But we have got a budget. It just wouldn't be sensible to run into debt. Now, I've got a formula for working it all out based on seniority, relationship, and value of their last year's gift to us.
Hey, Mom.
What is it, dear?
Emily isn't fair.
What is it now?
She won't tell me how much she's going to spend on my Christmas present.
Why should she?
So I know how much to spend on her.
What's the difference?
Look, Pop, money doesn't grow on trees.
I'm aware of that.
I have to work hard for my money.
I know, I know.
You think it's easy shining your shoes?
Pete, dear, don't you think you could get Emily a present because you... Well, because you just wanted to.
Sure, but I don't want to come out on the short end.
Mom, I don't think it's fair to get me a present you'd have to get me anyway. Like clothes. If I get a good, warm, sensible muffler, I'll scream.
Listen, Emily, give me a hint, huh? Under $2? Under $3?
Get something I need anytime.
Liz. Liz, do you consider Cousin Harry a $4 or a $2.50?
I could tell that the unselfish, kindly spirit of Christmas was everywhere. The days that followed at the store were a touching testimonial to the power of the Yuletide to bring out the humanity in everyone.
Drop that perfume, you sneak!
It's mine!
And, Miss, will you wrap this, please?
Don't you do it, Miss. I saw it first.
Really, lady?
Don't you push me.
If you think I'll let you elbow me out into the aisle,
but I was here first.
You don't own this counter.
Lady, please.
You.
Could we have a center job like in basketball?
Don't you poke me with that umbrella.
Well, I will if you push me
now
again.
Now, stop it. Stop it, both of you. I'm ashamed of you. Don't you realize it's Christmas time? Aren't you ashamed to be fighting like children?
Well,
I never in my...
The help they have these days.
Fresh.
I'm going to complain to the section manager.
Wait a minute, dear. I'll go with you. I've never been so insulted in my life.
I clung desperately to my starry-eyed devotion to Christmas in the face of continuous crowds, sales girls locked in deadly battle over commissions, and a mountain of return bottles of essence. I wanted so much to prove to Ruthie that you couldn't account for all of Christmas in sales slips and bonuses.
You make a sale to that dame, Liz?
Oh, yes. Ruthie was so sweet.
Sweet?
Yeah, she obviously didn't have much money. She had to make sure the present was just right. She said it was for her daughter.
She'd buy all the cotton?
Uh-huh. I was so touched. She'd try one, and then she'd be worried that her daughter wouldn't like it, and then she'd try another one.
Did she finally buy some?
Oh, yes, a lipstick.
The circus red number 3.
How did you know?
The cheapest on the counter. Honey, I got news for you. That dame is here every day.
She is?
Sure. She comes in and applies a complete makeup job from the samples. This isn't a department store to her. It's a free beauty parlor.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Miss, young lady.
I'll help you, madam.
Oh, thank you. That's so thoughtful of you.
Would you like to sit down, madam?
Oh, thank you so much. I've been shopping all morning. It's really too much for me at my age. I'm 67, you know.
How wonderful. Here, take this chair.
Oh, look out for my umbrella, dear.
Now, can I help you?
Well, the doctor says I shouldn't go out shopping, you know, but I just couldn't let anyone else do my Christmas list. Now, could I?
Of course not. That's just the way I feel.
Is it really, dear?
Oh, it's so nice to find somebody who feels this way about Christmas. I was beginning to give up.
Oh, don't you do it, dear. You keep your spirit up. I always do. Christmas is my biggest time, you know. Oh, now that's pretty.
Mrs. Marriott.
I beg your pardon?
I'm Gargan, the store detective. I saw you stall the old lady.
Stall her, but I...
Recognize her, hmm? Oh, no, you don't, Hattie. Stay right here.
Let go of me, you big ape.
Sure, this umbrella Hattie. Every store in town's been on the lookout for her. That umbrella's loaded with jewelry and high-priced fountain pens.
But she said that Christmas...
is her busiest time.
Let me go!
Come on, Hattie. Put it all back.
Let go of me before I stamp the toes right off those flat feet.
Oh, 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 Merry Christmas.
By the time the 24th of December rolled around, I had decided that Dickens had been manifestly unfair to good old sensible Scrooge, and that the Cratchit family were probably ne'er-do-wells who got that way by squandering their money annually on shamefully extravagant Christmas balderols. Finally, there was only minutes to go before the ceasefire.
Boy, oh boy, how are your feet, Liz?
Numb.
You're lucky. I'll give you a card to my chiropodist.
Thanks.
Oh, there it is. Reprieve.
Thank goodness. Oh, I can't wait to get home.
Miss, oh, miss, can you help me?
Oh, no.
I just rushed down here. The door was locked, but I tapped on it with a quarter and they let me in. I've just got to get some last-minute gifts.
You go ahead, Ruthie. I'll take it.
Gee, thanks, Liz.
They're just a few last-minute gifts. This list... Drop the fourth page.
Shall we begin at the beginning, sir?
Oh, yes, I realize you're closing, but I just had to... Well, now the first is Marcia.
Perfume?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. Look, sir, it's after six.
Oh, but of course you don't know Marcia. Let me tell you about Marcia.
I proceeded to provide a short-term psychoanalysis of everyone on the list. And to get even, I sold him a giant bottle of essence for the last 10 names. Finally, the last embattled customer had been back toward the doors and, still snapping, herded out into the street.
Girl? Girl?
Come on, Liz. This is Jowett's big moment. If we don't get there in a hurry, we'll miss the night before Christmas.
Oh, God.
Girl. Well, it's all over again for this year. I know you all want to hurry home. But just a word before you go. I want you to know I appreciate everything you've done. And I'm sure that you'll all be glad to know that as of noon today, Perfume and Cosmetics was leading hosiery by 7 points.
Wow.
With men's shirts tailing far behind. Yes. Now, I have a little something for Christmas that I want to pass out. I know you'll all enjoy it. A pocketbook-sized bottle of Essence.
Oh,
of course, there isn't enough to go around, so it's just for the regulars. The extras can pick up their layoff slips on the way out.
Drop dead.
Well, it's snowing.
Yeah, a white Christmas and soggy shoes.
Well, I suppose I'd better get home. It's been nice knowing you, Ruthie. I don't think I could have survived the slaughter without you.
Ah, you've been swell, Liz. Look, I thought maybe... Well, you were only an extra, and you didn't get any present. Here, you take mine.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Sure, why not? Give it to your kid. She'll like it.
But, Ruthie, you don't have to.
Oh, I just kind of want to. You don't have to think of it as a Christmas present. Well, guess I'll go to a movie.
A movie? On Christmas Eve?
Sure. All the jerks are home trimming those silly trees. You can get a seat.
You mean you don't have any place to go? Don't you have any family?
Not that I speak to. I live in a room over on the west side.
But, well, where will you have Christmas dinner tomorrow?
Maybe a cafeteria. Christmas dinner is just dinner.
Oh, Ruthie.
I don't care, really.
Well, I do. You come home with me now.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
But you can't be all alone on Christmas Eve.
Oh, why not? Let it match the rest of the year. I don't care, really. I can take care of myself. Doesn't make any difference to me. Could I really go home with you?
We'd love to have you. Really.
Gee.
Come on, we better hurry or they'll have the tree all trimmed. There was a holly wreath on the door as we went in, and the smell of the fir tree filled the whole house. Suddenly I realized I wasn't sure how the family would react to a stranger, an intruder in our family Christmas. I closed the door slowly behind me
Ben? Emily?
Hi.
Pete, this is Ruth.
Hello.
She didn't have anybody to... Well, I brought her home for Christmas Eve.
How do you do?
Maybe I'd better go, Liz. I mean, after all, it's for your family. I don't really belong.
Let me take your coat, Ruth.
Do you sing alto or soprano?
She can sit next to me.
Gee, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Somehow, once again, the magic had taken place. The cash registers, the advertisements, the dollar signs faded away, and we had Christmas with us. Then Pete plugged in the lights on the Christmas tree.
Well,
hey, look.
All right, eh?
And Ben got out the old leather-bound Bible that used to be Father's and Grandfather's before him. It was Christmas again.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Emily?
What child is this who lay to rest? On Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
Ben and Liz Marriott will be back in a moment. In the meantime, let us extend an invitation to all of you to drop by next week at this time for another half-hour observation and transcription of The Marriage, written by Ernest Canoy. The NBC Radio Network offers its congratulations to two members of the family, Miss Tandy and Mr. Cronin, on their fine performance in Sidney Howard's comedy, Madam, Will You Walk, playing now in New York at the Phoenix Theater. In tonight's cast of The Marriage were Denise Alexander, David Pepper, Ann Thomas, Norman Lloyd, Bryna Rayburn, Sylvia Davis, Kermit Murdoch, and James Stevens. The Marriage is an NBC Radio Network production directed by Edward King. This is Bob Denton speaking.
What are you sniffing, Ben?
Are you eating popcorn in bed?
No, it's essence. I put some behind my ear.
Delicious.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
This program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Let a kitchen radio fill your day with the wonderful music on the NBC Radio Network.
The Marriage, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 20th, 1953 on NBC, featuring one of the more popular acting teams of radio, the stage, and the silver screen, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. It's an hour of Christmas sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now on to the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Hanging Christmas decorations in this NBC episode first heard on December 18th, 1949.
Merry Christmas to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. With Christmas just a week off, the Harris family is busily engaged putting a few Yuletide decorations around the house. Alice is hanging a holly wreath in the window, and Phil has just finished hanging some mistletoe over the door.
There. Mistletoe. Ah, Philip, the many girls whose toes you've curled under this little sprig of greenery.
Daddy, what do you call that green stuff you just hung over the door?
Oh, mistletoe, honey. Better known as smooching spinach.
Why do you hang it over the door?
Well, it's like a game, baby Alice. The idea is for a fella to get a girl under the mistletoe and then kiss her.
Did you ever play the game, Daddy?
Did I ever play? I was All-American 12 years in a row.
You mean if a fella gets a girl under the mistletoe, he kisses her? That sounds like a silly game to me.
Don't knock it till you've tried it, gal. And don't try it till you get my permission.
Daddy, before you married Mommy, did you have any girlfriends?
Oh, I had a few. I'd say a few.
How many?
Well, I don't remember. When I got married, I fired my scorekeeper. You know something? I probably had more girlfriends than
Phil.
You could...
Phil, what are you doing?
Daddy's telling us about all the girls he knew before he met you.
Oh, them. That should make for nice, dull conversation.
Mommy, did you know that Daddy used to go out with other girls?
Oh, of course I knew he went out with other girls. I say girls. I never knew what a girl was supposed to look like until he met me. Now, look, Father, stop bragging about your former...
Hello there. Where is everybody? Oh, hello there. Good morning, children. Howdy-doody, Philip.
Howdy-doody. Oh, you dimpled darling, you. You know, sometimes, Willie, you're so cute, I
Philip,
could just...
Philip, stop chucking me under the chin.
I ain't chucking you under the chin. I'm groping for your windpipe.
You have your decorations up, Alice, and they look wonderful. The holly and the berries. What's that green stuff hanging in the doorway there?
That's mistletoe.
What do you hang that up for?
What do you... Oh, this kid really lives. Why, I don't know, but he does. Look, Willie, you're supposed to get a girl under... Look. Didn't your father ever tell you about the birds and the bees?
Naturally. Birds. A bird is a warm-blooded, feathered, egg-laying vertebrate commonly known as the avian Sauropsidus.
Huh?
A bee is a honey-gathering hymenopterous insect of the genus Apis.
All right, that... Willie. All right, all right.
So that's the scientific definition of the birds and the bees.
Well. I must have a talk with my father. Papa is away off the beam. Alice, is your brother always...
I also know about fish.
Now, shut up!
Willie, do you really like our decorations?
Oh, Alice, they're beautiful. And I'm glad to see that you people are imbued with the Christmas spirit. That's more than I can say for our city fathers. Where's the big community tree they always have in front of City Hall? I ask you, where is it?
Well, don't look at me. I ain't got it.
No, you're right, Willie. I wonder why they don't have the tree up this year.
That's what I'm going to find out. I'm on my way down to City Hall right now to get to the bottom of this. I'll go in and I won't come out till I know the whys and the wherefores.
What did he say?
He said he's going in on his why and coming out on his where.
You know, Willie, you're right. We should have a community tree, and I'm going to the City Hall with you. You're coming too, Phil. If enough people protest, we'll get results.
But, Alice, I can't go. I've got a date with Frankie.
Well, we'll pick him up and take him, too.
Oh, all right. But I don't know if I'm in favor of this. Gee whiz, in order to put a tree up, you got to chop one down.
What's wrong with that?
I don't believe in it. You see, I've an affinity for our little green brothers. And if you'll lend me your big flapping ears, I'll proceed to tell you why. There is a tree grows near our house. It's been there quite some time. Now the tree is a slippery elm tree, an awful hard to climb. But when my wife gets after me, in that tree I always roost. Why, I can go right up it just like a healthy squirrel. I don't never need no boost. But the other day, a woodman came round to chop my refuse down. Kept mumbling something about breaking it up into kindling wood and then spreading it around the town. I said to him, I said, look here, my friend. Hold on, wait, desist, whoa, stop. Put down that forest razor. Chop not a single chop. Woodman, woodman, spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. 3 years it has protected me, and I'll protect it now. Now go chop an oak, get a birch or pine. Save old Slippery there, that's mine. That's the only tree my wife can't climb, Mr. Woodman. Bad for me. I went further than that. I said, Woody, can you see that hole way up near that old treetop? That's the one. I got $5 in soft money hid up there, and it's yours if you refuse to chop. Now, you see, no one can climb that tree but me, because really, friend, it's too slippery. Fact is, I can't get up there very well myself unless my wife is after me. So you go home and get my little woman and bring her here, and I'm going to proceed to call her a very naughty word. Then all you have to do, Mr. Woodman, is stand by incognito while I do that perfect imitation of a bird. Now, you ain't gonna know just where I go. That is, while my wife's around. But the only thing I ask you, Mr. Woodman, the only thing I ask you, if you don't see me here on the ground, Woody, you gonna spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. Cause I'm gonna be up there and I'll drop old five down to thee. The one I promised thou. You must make that axe behave, because old Slippery there just must be saved. Man, that's a borderline twixt me and the grave. Mr. Woodman, Woody, spad. Please spad for me. Frankie, you've been beefing all the way down to the City Hall. What's the matter?
I got a right to beef. You're all very inconsiderate. Dragging me out of a warm, homey pool room. But if you want a tree, I'll talk to the mayor. He don't make a move without me. I'm here to see him every day. Hey, you know Mayor Baldwin? Intimately. We're old friends. I call him Baldy, and he calls me... You wouldn't think a man in his position would use that kind of language.
I see he knows you well.
Yeah.
Look, Remley, I tell you, on thinking it over, you'd better wait here, and we'll go in and see him without you, huh? We'll be back.
Well, here's the mayor's office. Now then, let's all go in together and assert ourselves. Pardon me, are you the mayor?
Yes, yes, come right in. Always glad to see the public. Make yourselves at home. Sit down, take your coats off, have a cigar. I suppose you're here to see me about the coming elections.
Coming elections? Mr. Mayor, you've just been elected. You're all set for the next 2 years.
I am? All right, stand up. Put your coats on and give me back those two cigars. What's the idea of barging into my office like this?
Mr. Mayor, we came in to see you about a Christmas tree.
Why didn't you say so? I have some very nice trees. What size do you want? I sell them by the foot. Always like to make a side buck or two. I'm an expert. I know all about trees.
Well, that's a coincidence. We have a boy here who knows all about birds, bees, and fish. Go ahead, Willie. Tell him about the birds.
Birds. A bird is a warm-blooded, feathered...
Okay, Willie, that's enough. That's enough. Don't tell him all you know. Let him ask his own father. Mr. Mayor, we want to know why the community Christmas tree isn't up this year.
Yes, you're a disgrace to your office. Your incompetence is something...
Look, just a moment. How dare you talk like that to a man in my esteemed position? Why, I'm a man of integrity, and you two are nothing but riffraff.
Now, just a minute, bud.
Quiet, Riff. I'm talking to Raff.
Don't we have a tree this year?
Well, I'm sorry, madam, but it slipped our minds, and I'm afraid it's too late to put through an appropriation.
Well, isn't there something you can do about it? Please?
No, Alice, don't ask him. Demand it. Mr. Mayor, we are the taxpayers who put you in office. We pay your salary, and you're working for us.
Oh, nuts. They always get me with that corny line. What did I ever do to deserve a job like this?
No, Mr. Mayor, we're sorry.
Most
people
work for one boss and only take orders from him, but not me. I work for every crumb bum that comes into this office with a beat. Just because I'm the only Republican in the country in office, everybody picks on me.
Now, Mr. Mayor, control yourself. Will you control your... And stop crying. You're wetting your dewy button.
Well, it's enough to drive a man crazy. Everybody's always coming in here asking for favors. Favors, favors.
What's taking you people so long? Oh, hiya, Baldy.
No, Remley, not you again. How many times do I have to tell you we can't keep the saloons open all night?
I'm not here for that.
Oh, you must be lobbying for your uncle again. Now, look, Remley, I've told you and I've told your uncle. I cannot give him a license to steal.
Frankie. Your uncle wants a license to steal?
Yeah. The only way he can be law-abiding and still make a living.
Mr. Mayor, if we buy a tree, will you allow us to put it up?
Certainly. If you can find a 30-foot tree, it's okay with me, but I don't know where you're going to buy one that size at this late date.
Oh, we don't have to buy one. I know exactly where to get one. I saw a lot of them up in the San Bernardino Mountains last week when I was there sheeing.
I'll leave it to him to pronounce it that way.
Hey, honey, let's go up there and get a tree. Might be fun to spend a day in the snow, huh?
Okay, okay. While Willie is skiing in the snow, you and I can go ice skating on the lake. I love to ice skate. Let's do it. We can get Julius's delivery truck to bring the tree back. Hey, Rem, come on up with us, will you?
No, thanks. I'm not a cold weather man.
Now, wait a minute. I hear the lake's frozen over and we can do a little ice skating.
Sorry, Curly. Once you take ice away from ginger ale, it loses all its sex appeal.
True.
Besides, I don't like cold weather.
Now, wait a minute. You won't mind it if you dress warm. Look, you go home and get all the heavy clothes that you can find, and then meet me at Julius's. And Alice, you better dress warm, too, because I hear they're having some storms up there.
Oh, is
long as you're with me, Phil, I won't have to dress warm.
What do you mean, and why are the musicians picking up their instruments? He was supposed to meet me here at the market, and the guy is always...
Hiya, Curly.
Oh, hello, Remley. It's about time you showed up. We got to get stuck. What do you got on? A
few warm clothes for the snow country. 2 suits of long underwear, 4 sweaters, a lumber jacket, a mackinaw, a parka, a coonskin cap, and a raccoon coat over the whole thing. How do I look?
Like a blob of hairy blubber. Look, what have you got in that case strapped around your waist? Batteries?
My red flannels are electrically heated.
All that stuff in electric underwear? Aren't you a little overheated?
No. I ain't plugged in.
And another thing, Remley, you got that coonskin cap on wrong. The tail's supposed to be in the back. Oh, Remley, you didn't have to put all that stuff on until we got... Oh, never mind. There's Julius. Hey, I've got to ask you if you'll loan us this truck. Hey, Julius!
Hi, Mr. Harris.
Hi, kid.
Well, if it ain't in a nook of the north. Hey, Mr. Harris, what's Klondike Clyde dressed up for?
Well, we're going up to the snow country, and he's prepared for it. That's his nose.
I mean, that other ridiculous looking thing.
That's a tail.
Oh. And his face is very becoming.
Yeah, from the front, he looks like a sheepdog from the back.
Oh, I am just convulsed by this hilarious routine, huh? What's the matter with you guys? You think you never saw somebody wearing a nose muff before?
What are you going up to the snow country for?
Well, we're going up to get a community tree for the town, and, well, we want to borrow your delivery truck to bring it back, Julius. Can we have it?
What kind of a question is that? For such a noble cause to help humanity, To bring you tight here to my fellow townsmen, I'd have to be the lowest kind of heel to refuse permission for you gentlemen.
All right, never mind the speech, never mind. Where are the keys to the truck?
In my pocket, but you might have a little trouble getting up to the mountains.
Why?
I ain't gonna lend you the truck.
But you just made a big speech about noble causes. What was that for?
I like to hear myself talk. I'll lend you the truck if I do the driving.
Okay, okay, you can do the driving. Now, come on, will you? We got to pick up Mrs. Harris and Willie, and then, fellas, we're off to the mountain.
One of these small trees.
No, no, we're not going to give up. Now, we came up here to get a great big tree, and that's what we're going to get.
Oh, but Phil, the snowstorm is getting worse. Let's get back to the truck. I'm freezing.
That's the trouble with you women. You can't take it. I'd like to keep you warm, but I don't know how.
Well, it might help if you gave me back my fur coat.
Oh. Well, if you want to be selfish, take it. Here. Ooh. Hey, you're right. It's freezing without that coat. How do you feel, Frankie?
Very comfy. I just plugged myself in. My thermostat says I'm 78. I'll turn it up to 85.
Phil, please, let's get back to the truck. Phil.
Huh?
You smell smoke?
Yeah, I do. Frankie, it's coming from you.
From me?
Yeah.
How do you like that? I got a short circuit in my red flannel.
Phil, we've got to get out of here. I'm freezing.
I'm freezing, too.
I'm sweating. Maybe I better turn down the damper on my underwear.
Frankie, will you be quiet a minute? I'm freezing to death. Oh, Alice, I might as well confess. I hate to tell you this, but honey, we're lost. I don't know where we are.
Well, what are you worrying about? If we're not back at the truck soon, Willie and Julius will come looking for us.
Yeah, but suppose they get here late. It's getting colder every minute. We're lost in this bleak, desolate wilderness, and I'm freezing. Freezing. Do you hear me? Freezing.
Huh? What are you getting excited about? Take it easy.
How can I? I'm starting to get numb, and my feet are frozen. Look at my little ankles. They're blue. My ankles are blue.
Those are your socks. Wrong with your feet?
I say there is something wrong. My leg is frozen stiff. Look, Frankie, I'm pinching it and there's no feeling in it. Why is there no feeling in my leg?
Maybe it's because it's my leg you're pinching.
Well, this is a fine time for that.
He's right, honey. Drag it out of the way. Now, look, kid, don't worry, because I'm going to get you out of this. And, Alice, honey, control yourself. Don't get hysterical. Please don't get hysterical.
I'm not hysterical.
Don't argue with me. And if you, Remley, will you keep calm and stop blubbering like a baby?
Who's blubbering? I'm happy as a bird dog.
Don't change the subject. Now, wait a minute, Frankie. Get a grip on yourself, because we're a couple of big, strong men, and it's up to us to rescue this frail woman.
You're right. Let's get this frail out of here.
Oh, hey, Alice Faye. Thank goodness we got you in time. What happened to all of you?
Oh, we all got lost. Frankie passed out, and I had to drag him for a half a mile.
How's Philip? Is he all right?
Lift him off my back and see.
Oh, for goodness sake. Julius, give me a hand.
All that trouble, and we didn't even get a tree.
Oh, well, we got one.
Julius and I found a big one right near where we parked the truck.
Oh, where are we? What happened?
You're all right, Philip, and don't worry, I'm here.
You I don't need. Where's the dog with the brandy?
Hey, I need a drink, too. Pass the St. Bernard around.
I got something to warm you up. Here, Mr. Emery, take a short swig of this.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough, Mr. Emery. I said that's enough.
That stuff's terrific. And I ought to know because I'm a judge of good liquor. What's the name of it?
Antifreeze.
Poison, I'm dying.
Now, take it easy, Reveille. Take it easy. Don't get excited. Take it easy. You'll only... Look at him boil over.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But right now, here's a stand-in for Santa Claus, your Rexall family druggist.
Stay tuned for Sam Spade, then Maurice Evans on Theater Guild on NBC.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Tuned To Yesterday from December 18th, 1949 on NBC. And that puts a wrap on this Christmas edition of Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Happy holidays.